read from the book of Job tonight, in the first chapter of Job, and you'll find that in your Bible right before Psalms and right after Esther in the Old Testament. Again, it's a privilege to be here. And we did drive up to go to service, and did any of you eat at the smoke pit? Anybody ever ate there? All right, well, I was going to find out if you ate there before I said I did, all right? So anyway, I told Brother Jeremy, I said, good thing we're not preaching tonight after eating there a little bit ago. So anyway, we got some food there. So we'll do our best this evening and thank God for his blessings and giving us a safe trip. It took us about 8 hours, time we stopped a little bit a couple times, but we did come just go to church. But God blessed, and we're thankful to be here tonight. Job chapter 1, and we're going to start reading at verse 6 down, including verse 13. If you're there, we'll ask you to stand, reverence the Lord and the Word of God. I know we live in a day and time where there's not much reverence for God or His Word or the house of God, and I really get sick a lot of times seeing things that's going on in the house of God. And I'm thankful tonight to be able to come and see folks dressed for church and for worship and to honor a God that's a living God and a true God. Brother Cody, a God that saved our soul. God has delivered us from hell. God has given us eternal life. And people just want to trample on him. But after all that good help he's given us, and sometimes I wonder if those folks ever got any help, really. And but anyway, I know I'm not your judge, but I got a book at Judges. Right. Amen. Right. Amen. All right, before I make you mad at me, I'm going to read here Job chapter 1 and verse 6. I tell my church a lot that if I'm going to get into this, it's that three-letter dirty word now, job. It looks like job, so not many people want one of those anymore. All right, verse 6, if you're there, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you love the Lord, say hallelujah tonight.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Pentecostal. All right, verse 6. Your Bible should read like this, and if it doesn't, chunk it, we'll get you a good one, all right? Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Verse 13, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Amen. Let us pray. Lord and Savior, we do love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us, God, to bring forth the word of life. And Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that you'd move in this house. And Lord, especially if there's any that's unsaved, undone tonight in a free pardon of sin, God, that you'd touch tonight, Lord, that you'd save. And Father, Lord, we know that you always save to the uttermost, Lord. And God, we pray tonight, Lord, if for any in need, Father, tonight, discouraged, Lord, depressed, Lord, maybe anxious tonight, Lord, just things of the world, Father, Lord, is tearing them up. Father, we pray that you'd strengthen and encourage them tonight, the saints of God. Feed their souls, Lord God. Father, we pray with that heavenly manna tonight. Father, we ask, Lord God, for anointing, Lord, upon us tonight, for I can't preach without you, Lord God. Don't want to. God, don't desire to. So I pray, God, that you'd anoint us, Lord God, and the unction of the Holy One rest upon us. Lord God, we pray. Father, undergird us, Lord, with your power. Strengthen us, Lord. And God, we pray tonight, hide us behind the cross. Lord, that men not see us, Lord God, but see you. And God, that they'd remember the name of Jesus and forget about me. And God, I'll give you the praise for it, for it's in Jesus' holy name I pray. And amen. 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 You may be seated. Thank God for his word tonight. I'm thankful for the house of God. I'm thankful the Lord said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And as I say that, I thought about this young man that was outside, or this young boy, and he was having his own service, and he had his cat out there, and he just preaching up a storm to that cat, amen? And he just preaching to it. His mom was looking out the window, and she saw him, and she thought, oh my goodness, how cute little Johnny out there preaching to the kitty cat. And a little bit she heard, rah, rah. That old cat just a squalling. She went over there and she hollered at little Johnny and said, Johnny, Johnny, said, cats don't like water. Get that cat out of the water. He said he should have thought of that before he joined my church. Amen. Amen. All right. That's Tom the Baptist, by the way. All right. As we look at the book of Job, we see here a lot of things going on in Job's life, or is going to start to. Pretty much to begin with, Job was doing well. He was running well. Everything was doing good. God had him hedged in, boy. I'm telling you what, I believe he done a little strutting every now and then. You know, as he saw that God had protected him, and he was really prospering in life, and his herdsmen all was growing. He had plenty. Nice children and a good wife, and or at least he thought she was. And so as he goes on and thinks everything is well, and boy, the devil, he can't touch me. And but we notice Job here, he's still tending to the Lord's work, and he's worshiping God. And as we see here that he would burn offerings or have offerings for the his children that may have sinned, and he would offer up sacrifice for them. And he didn't have a Bible, so he must have learned that from a way back. Amen. Maybe Abel taught him that back a way back. But anyway, he was going by tradition, and sometimes tradition's not bad. Amen. And sometimes we need to hold on to some old traditions, and we need to hold to some old landmarks, and quit backing away from them, and go with a new things. And people say, well, you're just doing that because grandma did it. Well, honey, let me tell you, if grandma did right, then I ought to do what grandma done. Amen. If grandpa done right, I ought to do what grandpa done. Ain't nothing wrong with that. The old way is the right way. As Jeremiah said, seek ye out the old paths. Amen. Walk therein, which is the good way, and you'll find rest for your soul tonight. Honey, there's rest for our soul in the old way. He didn't say there's rest for the flesh in the old way. He said there's rest for the soul in the old way. You see, too many Christians wanting rest for the flesh and forgetting about the soul. Amen. Well, that might be a different message, but anyway, thank God. I always like to rabbit hunt and chase rabbits. Amen. It goes right along with it, and we see, as Job here done all these things, and not from God's word, he didn't have it, but from the tradition as he came up and he knew what was right and felt what was right. And let me say this right here. When he was following those traditions, guess what happened? God had a hedge around him. I think God liked what he was doing. Amen. And I thank God, and I know that God knew that he had his feet planted on solid foundation. If he hadn't, he wouldn't have said, have you tried my servant Job, to Satan? Amen. And so he's going to try him. Amen. And so we look at verse number 6 real quick, and then we'll get into message. Now there was a day. All right, if you look at verse 13 with me, it said, and there was a day. See, there's some different days happening here that's going on. Now if you look with me in chapter 2, verse 1, it said, again, there was a day. Amen. Again, there was a day. So we look at this and we see that there was a day. So tonight we like to take for thought, there will come a day. There'll come a day in our lives. Amen. There'll come a day in your life. Now, you may be hedged in right now, and especially, I remember being a young Christian boy, I just about could walk on water. Amen. I thank God and think nothing could touch me, and for just a little while, I had no storms in my life. Amen. I mean, it seems like it was just smooth sailing for a while, but God was showing me just how good He was. He was loving on me. I thank God. Listen, and showing me that He had helped me and that He was carrying me. But then one day, when He allowed the devil to come knocking, I began to wonder what was going on. I began to say, where's my God? Amen. Well, where's my God? I mean, I thought once I got saved, I wasn't going to have these kind of troubles anymore. I thought a lot of this sickness wasn't going to come anymore. Amen. I didn't think these things would happen to me. And as I lived for God for a little while, and my family got out of church, my dad and my mommy got out of church, and our family, they were just backslid on God and sitting at home. And when I was about 16 years old, my daddy got hepatitis B, and he was about to die. And they had nothing for him. They sent him home and said, go home and just do the best you can do. I said, we don't have anything to treat that. Amen. And I was backslid on the Lord at the time. Of course, the whole family had. And when daddy and mommy, let me tell you, when daddy and mommy, when they don't go to church, I don't expect your children to do any good if you're not going to get in the house of God and lead them. But I'm telling you, I never forgot where I came from. Even during the times that they were backsliding out of church, many times I ride my bicycle to a church, just the closest one that I could get to and get what I did. But I always knew that I needed more of God and more of God. But when I was 16, and my daddy got sick with hepatitis, I began to wonder, what's going on? What's going on? But then when he was so sick, it was very contagious. Hepatitis B was very contagious, and they didn't really have a vaccination. The only one they had was a live vaccine, and not many people wanted to take that. But to stay home with my parents, I had to, and my mama had to. And we took it, and my other brother was at home. He left, and the rest of the family, they wouldn't come around. It just left us. It's a pretty dark time. Sometimes I had one aunt that would come in, but I'm not saying I blame anybody, because it's very contagious. But what it was a time that the devil came. And I'm telling you what, we think sometimes, I know the devil is wicked and evil, but if God allows him to come to your home, sometimes it's not all that bad. Sometimes it wakes some people up when he comes knocking and some things begin to happen in your home that stir you up. Well, it wasn't bad enough that dad was sick and I was 16 years old and trying to go through school. But then my mama got some kind of sickness. It sounded a lot like Job. She had boils from the crown of her head and the soles of her feet. And the doctor says, we can't find anything. It must just be anxiety and stress. But it was killing her. She got down and she couldn't go. So there I was, a 16-year-old boy with my daddy and with my mama, trying to take care of them both as they lay there. It looked like they're dying. And they was dying. But there I was. And I'm wondering, where is this God? Amen. But I'm telling you what, through that and a few months of that, boy, I begin to seek God and I begin to talk to daddy and mommy. I begin to say, we got to have some help here. We got to have some help. We need a preacher. We need the word of God. Thank God. We need God's word. But you know, bless God, when you're backslid, sometimes you get hard. And when your feelings is hurt in church, do you know your feelings get hurt at church? when they had their feelings hurt at church, and they upset with everybody, mad at everybody. Oh, but when they got down and couldn't go, and nobody was coming in to help, we all wanted a preacher to come. And I'm telling you what, when they called the preacher in, thank God, and the preacher came, and we prayed, and we rededicated our lives to Jesus. Honey, listen, it made a difference in our life. Thank God, it made a change that we'd all surrendered to God, and the God began to do a work. And my dad, I believe, was in his 50s at that time, and he lived to be 92 years old. Amen. Hey, that's God. Amen. That's God. That's God. So we look and we see, what do we need to do in the time of trouble? We need to worship. We need to worship. We need to call out on God is what we need to do. That's what you need to do in this time. And when Satan comes and these things begin to happen, if you look at verse 14 with me, we'll find there came a messenger of Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the servants fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. He's not even got that all the way out of his mouth. And look what happens. And look what happens in 16. While he was speaking, listen, the servant comes saying, the oxen and the asses have been taken, and the servants has fell upon them, and the servants are slain. While he's speaking, another come also and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and burn up the sheep. Amen. And the servants and consumed them, and only I have escaped. And while he's telling his story, another came and said, the Judeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels. One right after another. And he's not done yet. Why, he's still telling his story. Number one's telling his story, the oxen, the asses, and the servants. Number two's telling his story. And listen, the camel, number three, number two of the sheep, number three of the camels, and number four, while he yet speaks, thy son and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and only I have escaped alone to tell. Listen, all these things happened, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Before one could get done, another was there to tell him. But then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. He's now got to bury 10 children. And he's lost all of his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his cattle and his servants. He's got to bury his 10 children. And what does he do? He worships. Well, what do we do when we lose some things in this life? What do we do when we lose some? What do we do when we get hit hard in this life and things happen? What do we do if somebody's taken out of our life, a parent or a loved one? Are we still going to worship? Are we still going to worship if we lose everything we've got? If we lose our homes? If we lose everything we've got? Well, some of us think about, we won't even worship if they take our guns away from us. How are we going to worship if we lose everything around us? And that's what Job did. That's what Job did. You know, we think the devil's fighting us when we run out of gas coming to church. Amen. Amen. Oh, preacher, you got to pray for me. The devil's really fighting me hard. I run out of gas on the way to church. And I mean, you got an idiot light on there that's been on there for some 50 miles probably, telling you about ready to run out of gas. I mean, it's not like it used to be. And you say the devil's fighting you. No, the devil's not fighting you. You've got to put gas in it. Amen. And I'll say tonight, you get down spiritually and you're all down and discouraged and you hadn't been to church for 2 or 3 services, and you say the devil's not fighting you. No, the devil's not fighting you. You're low on fuel. You need to be in the house. house of God. You need to worship God. He deserves the worship tonight. He deserves the praise tonight. He saved our soul. He saved our soul. And we lay out on him. Listen, and all that he done for us, Brother Cody, and blessed us and saved us and washed us, made us whiter than snow. Thank God, and cleansed us, and that we're no more the same. Thank God, pulled us out of the gutter and set us up on a solid rock. Amen. That's what he's done for us tonight. Amen. Thank God, pulled us out of there. Out of the miry clay and set us up on a solid rock. And he didn't only stop there, but he established our ways, thank God. Woo! And he didn't only stop there, he put a new song in our heart. Amen. I mean, he paid the price, thank God. He paid the price. What are we going to do? We're going to worship him. We're going to worship him. And old Job said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. All right, but there's again coming. There'll come a day. There's another day coming, a little test, a little trial, another day coming. But in all this, Job sinned not, but we can't say that by the time we get to the end of the book. But we see here again, there came a day. As we look at here coming another day, here comes Satan again. In verse 3 of chapter 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, and perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. You see, he's still holding his integrity. He's lost all this, but he's still holding. Amen, he's still holding. I'm telling you, sometimes it may get to the point that you don't know if you can hold on anymore. You may be tested to the point that you're just wondering, am I going to be able to hold on one more day? I tell you, when the devil gets to your mind and you're just wondering how that you're going to make it another day, when you set your affections on all the problems and all the things of the world and all the things around you, rather than doing as Paul said in Colossians 3, set your affections on things above. Amen. Where Christ sat at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Listen, when we get them set in the right place, it'll encourage us. In verse 4, it said, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Skin for skin. Think about this tonight. I know we got some holy people sitting here. Sometimes we get a little more maybe righteous than we, or think we're a little more righteous than we are. So he says skin for skin. So let me make this point or give you a little example. Brother Cody here, Brother Zach gets sick. Oh, I tell you, I got all the faith in the world to pray for these men. That God will heal them. But when old John gets sick, when it comes home, skin for skin, when it comes down to my skin, when it comes down to your skin, where will you stand? When it comes to your skin, when they say, it doesn't look like there's any hope, it doesn't look like there's any hope, when it comes to your skin. Now, I'm in good shape with my skin. I just had a doctor's appointment not long ago, and they done some lab work. And before the doctor called me, they've got this app now. It's health app. And I looked on there, and the best I could read those labs was, I am sweet and greasy. Amen. I thought, that sounds good for a Baptist preacher. Amen. To be sweet and greasy. And But when the doctor called, they act like it was bad. And I'm like, what can be bad about being sweet and greasy? I mean, I went to the smoke pit to get something sweet and greasy. Amen. Thank God. And so, but when it comes to skin for skin, now if they'd have gave me bad news, like you have high cholesterol, and you may be a diabetic or on the borderline, I'd have got depressed. Amen. Because that'd have been skin for skin. But when you look at it through the way I look at it as a Baptist preacher, amen, sweet and greasy, it's not too bad. Amen. But here we see it is skin for skin. Listen, this is going to be a time that Job is not going to forget. This is going to be a time that hits Job. It's not going to hit son. It's not going to be daughter. It's not going to be the servants. It's not going to be his oxen, his ass, his sheep, his camels, it's going to be himself. I find it much easier to pray for people around me and believe for people around me than I do myself. I really do. And you know what I like to convince myself of? And I tried this. I tried to convince myself as well, I just don't think of as much of myself as I do others. But I kind of got a rebuke on that from God. What it is, truthfully, is my faith gets weak. My faith gets weak. And we can find out with old Job as we look here, and we find out that here, skin for skin, God's going to allow him, but says he put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So the devil's saying, if you'll curse him, or if you'll touch his bones and his flesh, he'll curse you to your face. But the Lord told Satan, said, behold, he's in thy hand, only save his life. So the Lord's going to allow him to be tried. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord in verse 7. And smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet to his crown. And he took him a posture and scraped himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain in thine integrity? I don't know exactly how she said that, but I got an idea. Curse God and die. The devil knew what to leave him, didn't he? The devil knew what to leave him to help him out. And I'm not saying I got a good wife. And I know Brother Zorn's got a good wife. But I like to say this, not everybody does. Not every wife's got a good husband. Amen. I mean, if a man's got to beat on his wife, he ain't no man.
Right.
If you'll bring that joker to a few of us, oh, we better go on. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive? This is Job. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. But now notice, this is the beginning. But he's saying this in the beginning. He's saying, have we not received good at the hand of God, and shall not we receive evil? But we know, and your pastor knows from where he preached through the book of Job, that later on we find Job, that he's a wonder, and he's even the curse in the day that he was ever born. Amen? And so there was some problems there. I think Job got a little bit ahead of himself and full of himself, probably thinking these boils will last about 24 hours and I'm going to be okay. You ever have that? I had a sickness, an issue one time that lasted 15 years. Rough. And finally after that, through surgery in the hand of God, God delivered me. But day one wasn't bad. 1 week wasn't too bad. 1 year started getting bad. Every year after that got a little worse. Let me tell you something. Day one wasn't too bad. I thought like old Job. Had God, have we not received good at the hand of God? Why should we not have, and I put this in there, a little bad? Yeah. We think sometimes because we're Christian, it'll be a little bad. But let me tell you something. Sometimes it can be real bad. Amen? But I'm not here with gloom and despair. I'm getting somewhere. Listen, but we see what we should do in this time is we should worship God. Amen? And remain faithful unto God, just as Job was doing to begin with, and remain faithful, thank God, to God, and worship Him. So when you got problems, please come to the house of God. I've heard so many people say, I didn't want to come and ruin a service. I've heard so many people, just excuses, but the devil gives them one after another. But what should we do? Well, what did Job do? Well, we find his friends came. I've got friends like that. I've got some of the same friends, but I watch because God may use them as my enemy one day. Amen. But I know who they are. But anyway, these friends come and they point to Job and trying to point out his sin and his wrongdoings. But we know this, what God said about him. But we know as time went on, of course, Job began to get a little full of himself. But what should we do when they come? I believe we ought to listen to counsel. I believe we ought to take heed, especially in good counsel. But I've even found that those that criticize and those friends, sometimes they help me with their criticism. Amen. I know I get an amen on that. But I get help in that because it helps me search myself. You see, you don't want to give up and you don't want to be discouraged when those friends come by, amen, and begin to tell you every fault that they think you have. Right? Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Listen, you know who you are. Do you not? I've said before, I'll say it again many times. Preacher, they say, preacher, you shouldn't make people doubt their salvation. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, I've never heard a Bible preaching, Bible message make me doubt my salvation. The salvation of the Lord. Amen. Listen, I've never had anyone to make me doubt my salvation. And those that come to you and criticize you, they're not going to hurt you as far as your salvation and your fellowship and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And especially when it's the counsel that we need to help us. We know when Elihu comes, he gives good counsel. He gives good counsel. He gives good counsel that you need to look. You don't realize who God really is. You don't realize when you're saying things about this God, just what a mighty God we have. And I'm afraid some of these so-called pastors and preachers that are watering down the Word of God don't realize what kind of God and a just God and a holy God and a righteous God that we have. Thank God they don't understand who we have, who our God is. They don't understand. A lot of our friends don't understand. Elihu understood. Elihu understood God. He understood a lot of what Job was going through somehow, some way. And as God used him to speak to him, Job listened to this counsel. And he listened to them. Job came back most of the time with something, with a rebuttal, and he'd come back and he'd say this and he'd say that, and he'd even talk of the Lord, and you know, the more or less don't know where I'm at. He's not seeing me. How could he care for me? Where is this good God? But I'm telling you what, in a long valley, sometimes we just do wonder, where is our good God? I'm here to tell you, he'll never leave you or forsake you, but go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. You know, we come through two tunnels coming here today. As we come through those tunnels, every time I thought, I'm going to see the light in a minute. You see, I'm not a rat. I'm not a ground mole. I don't like underground. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Amen. I'm looking to go up there. Up there. You know where up there is, don't you? Amen. I'm looking to go up there. Thank God. But listen, every time I come to a tunnel and it be kind of dark, I think there's light coming to me. There's light coming to me. And God spoke to my heart and soul and said, John, there's light coming in a minute. There may be a valley for you. There may be a tunnel, but I'm here to tell you there's light coming. There's light coming. The light's coming. You hold on. You hold on. You're going to see the light. You're going to see the light. You just keep going. You keep going forward and you'll see the light. Amen. Amen. But you know what would have happened if I'd have locked her up and threw her in reverse? It'd have been a crash. That'd have been a mess. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you lock her up in your Christian walk, when trouble comes and you throw her in reverse, it's going to be a lot worse. It's going to be a lot worse. Because who knows? Who knows? The next time that RPM goes, the next time that wheel, amen, makes one more turn, amen, listen, one more turn might be the light. One more step might be the light. One more time of entering through those church doors into this sanctuary might be the light. It very well could be the light. Amen. It very well could be the light. Listen, and then we see we've got to love those around us. Job loved them. The critics, he forgave them. How do I know that? Because we're getting to the good part. If when we look at Job, you see the good part about reading the first part of Job is I've already read the last part of Job. Amen. Amen. The good part about this life right now with our messed up government, amen, our twisted president, whatever you want to call that thing, amen. I saw something the other day about some parasites, amen. You've got that deer tick, that Texas tick, and some other kind of wood tick or something. Then you got a lunatic, amen. Hey, listen, but what I got hope in is revelation is coming, amen. I got hope in the end of the book. Thank God. To know that we're on the winning side, church. Just like Job, I can read and I'll start at the beginning, but I know what's coming at the end. Woo! I know it's just going to get gooder as time goes on. Amen. We do not teach our students to say gooder, by the way. That's only preaching language. Amen. Amen. And so it looks to me like that Job went ahead with his love and his compassion, because when we get to chapter 42, we find Job here, and we find his friends are coming. We find Job, all his brethren, all his sisters, in verse 11, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. They bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. Amen. I'll take your money tonight, but I don't care nothing about your earrings. But Job, what they're doing is God is blessing him. What God is doing is making him wealthy again. And if you read this chapter, you'll find out that Job has twice as much. Even the children. I mean, we can look at this and say, well, the theologians, well, you know, we're looking at Israel here. They will come back. They will be a family. But also, I believe that Job was restored and had twice as much, that he again had those 10 children in his life. And God began to bless him with twice as many oxen, twice as many asses, twice as many camels, twice as many sheep. Thank God. Listen, you hold on. The blessing. Blessings of God are coming. The devil might be trying you today, but honey, tomorrow might be the light at the end of the tunnel. Tomorrow might be the light. So we see again, there'll come a day But let me say this. Again, there will come a blessing. Again, there will come a blessing. Amen. I tell you, you won't go through a little trial without having a little blessing. You won't go through a mid-sized trial without having a mid-sized blessing. You won't go through a large and a big and a deep trial without getting a great big blessing. Amen. You've been through it, brother. You know that when we go through that trial, what a testimony we have. Amen. What a testimony. And if we never have a test, child of God, we'll never have a testimony. That's why so many people's quiet at church anymore. He won't go through a test. Yeah. Pastor, can you come? Can you pray? The devil's all over us. Don't you know that you're priests and kings? I know you do if you sit here very long. Yeah. You know there's one mediator between man and God. Man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. Paul told Timothy, you know, thank God that we go to that mediator, amen, and we've got an intercessor, the Holy Spirit of God, amen, to pray when we don't know how to pray, when we don't know what we ought to pray, but he prays and makes intercession for us. Thank God that day's coming, my friend. There's a blessing headed your way. If you've been going through a trial, know this, a payday is coming, my friend, a payday. Day is on its way. Woo! Amen. Amen. And by the way, back to my dad and mama, they left this world serving God. Whoop, glory! You see what a trial can do. Thank God. You see where a trial will put a 16-year-old boy. Thank God. And keep him in the grace of God. Amen. And Job eschewed evil daily, and so can we. Don't believe this lie. You've got to walk around and sin all the time. I know we fall and come short. I know we sin. I know all sin comes short of the glory of God. And I know if we say we have no sin, we're a liar, or make him a liar. Truth's not in us. I know all those things, and we'll come up short. But I'm not deliberately coming over here day by day and taking this man's watch. Yeah. Amen. I'm not day by day spewing out filth right out of my mouth. Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. And so he changed me. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm quitting. Feeding man being Christ. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. Aren't you glad, church, that you're made new? That you're not the same old man and woman that you used to be? Glory! Thank God! Glory to God! Woo! And some of you think it's not a good way that you can't do anything. Let me tell you something. I do what I want to do. I drink as much alcohol as I want to drink. Now listen to me. I do as much sin as I want to do. And you know how much that is? None. Because God changed my want to do. Amen. I'm telling you what. When you're saved, born in the family of God, I thank God he changes your want to do. So I am drinking as much as I want to drink. I am sinning as much as I want to sin. Because he changed all that. I didn't. Pastor, turned over to you.